talking about Mr. Socrates Palmer, boxing's PhD. How's Sebastian doing, Sock?
He's doing good. He had a case of the sniffles earlier in the week, and he's getting better little by little. You know,
Sebastian is the newborn a child in the Socrates family here. Bottom line is, was I too little harsh in going after Tony Zano for his refereeing last night?
I don't think you were harsh. I think that, you know, he definitely overexerted his authority, so to speak, without any type of warning. I don't remember any other time in the fight where there were rabbit punches thrown. And, yeah, it was pats in the back of the head. You know, but it just happened. I think the criticism is there was no warning. You know, we've seen real dangerous stuff happen with rabbit punching. You know, Pritchard Colon, who's now, you know, pretty much in the vegetative state here in New York. So I'm very sensitive to that. But that looked really like just a panic move or a corrupt move, one of the two. Or in the net movie, exactly. Okay. So, like you said, maybe he was in over his head. First time in a title fight. I don't know his history as far as title fights that he's done, being on television. But it was not a great night for Zane. And I agree with you. You know, Valdez was not at his best, but I thought he did enough to win the fight.
Did you see the Brazilian dance behind the referee? Did you see him get the ref? He got the referee between him and the fighter. Did you see him do that?
He was doing some
it was almost like a contortionist. I mean, you're looking at something like a magic act. It was like boom. He put himself between the referee and the fight. The Brazilian, I thought, showed good footwork. Did he showboat? Yes, but I got to ask you this. Your boxing's PhD. If a guy wins 2 minutes of a round and showboats the rest of the round, does he lose the round?
It depends what are the shots that he's landing. If he's just flicking and running, you know, and not really landing anything with big consequence, and then you get clipped with the harder, cleaner shots, then yeah, you know, it's all subjective. We know that this, you know, boxing judging, what do you like? There's some judges that like the defensive fighter. There's some that like the aggressor. Robinson outthrew him. Did he land significant shots? I can't remember a time in the fight that he actually hurt Valdez. I thought Valdez's footwork was a little off. It wasn't the same like Brochel, but it's a different animal. This guy is a pure boxer, the Brazilian. He showed his Olympic pedigree. But, you know, when you are the underdog, when you're fighting on the road, you can't leave anything in doubt. You know, you got to bring it home. Like the way when Josh Taylor beat Ramirez, he took it to him, you know, and obviously – fought the fight of his life, and last night the Brazilian had to do that, and he came up short.
You know, I one time I fought across the bay in Hayward, California, and the guy puffed me up a little bit. I mean, he did. I thought he won the fight. I was standing in the center of the ring. I was ready to congratulate him. And they gave me the fight, and everybody sort of knew on my team that it wasn't. You know what I'm saying? I was back in the gym Monday morning. What I'm trying to tell you is, you know when you've lost fights, and the body language sort of tells you things. And right. Neither guy was really showing that they lost last night, but, you know, you could just see that Oscar Valdez was not having a good night. And through 12 rounds, I thought he was outlanded. I thought he was, you know, you can say what you want about the running style. Somebody said he looked like a Cuban on steroids or something like that. I thought that was a little bit rough. But the bottom line is, I thought the guy landed a lot of punches. Oh, let's go back to let's get this fight out of the way. Stephen Blaze scored a 117-110, so he scored three rounds for the Brazilian. Do you think that's right?
You know what? No, I personally had it 7-5 for Valdez. You know, you saw when they would show the replays some of the body shots that looked like they landed clean. The Brazilian, was blocking them, catching them on the elbows and on the hip. Three rounds is pretty rough. I mean, that's you're really looking at it one-sided. I mean, that's somebody needs to, you know. Do these guys get graded?
Unofficial statement from the WBC this morning to me, shot via WhatsApp. we won't be seeing that guy ever again.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's a good thing. Yeah,
I think he needs to, that was the. I mean, I just telling you, I got a little text this morning, and that was what I was. That was what I gleaned from the text, because we won't be seeing them one more time. Okay, Shakur Stevenson, Jamal Waring. Is Jamal the champion? Is he the underdog champion here? I mean, is he underdog even though Shakur Stevenson is still a bit untested?
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to this. You know, Jamal Herring, hey, I sold him short when he fought Frampton, and he shut me up. You know, Jamal Herring is the real deal. He is, I mean, what's there not to like about him? The guy's complete class when you hear him in interviews. Ex-military, you know, so he's got the utmost respect from me. And he's just a guy that seems to be a hard worker, and he goes about his business the right way. On the other side, you got someone that we don't know who he is. I mean, ESPN tells us he's great. You know, you listen to Tim Bradley and Andre Ward and in the top-ranked propaganda machine, I don't know why he should fight again. He should already be in Canastota, but he hasn't fought anybody. You know, he hasn't fought anybody. Can he do it in the ring? You know, not through the PR press that we get. So this is definitely a show and prove fight for Shakur Stevenson, who has been criticized for not being an exciting fighter, fighting very tactical. He's the bigger guy, naturally. I saw them at the press conference the other day. The pictures, you see Shakur Stevenson a lot thicker than Herring, although Herring might be a little taller. It's a great fight. It really is. And Herring is someone that you cannot sell short. You know, he's a hard worker. He's been through a lot. And I think Shakur, if he's too busy reading his own press clippings, can have his stardom derailed.
Okay, time to put you on the spot before the break here. I got about 45 seconds. Demetrius Andrade, when's he going to fight somebody? That's your buddy.
Oh, man. You talk about a wasted career. Yeah. I mean, he first came out the gate, signed by Star Boxing. Maybe that was his first mistake. And now he's, you know, and then he, DAZN and Eddie Hearn, like, what are they doing for him? I mean, he'll probably be 40 when he finally gets the Canelo fight.
Freeze that thought. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide and WBC TV, live on Twitch.tv, of course, the Sports Byline USA channel. What is hip? Tell me.
Ring Talk Live Worldwide, brought to you by the WBC with Pedro Fernandez. Maybe him and him. What is him?
Since I have predicted that I'll be the champ at the time I'm 21, well, naturally, everybody's coming to see you win.
And they represent your thinking.
These represent dynamite. There you
go. He will be mine in round 9. And if he makes me sore, I'll cut it to 4.
Thank you very much.
And if that don't do, we'll get him in 2. If he run, we'll get him in 1. And in your heart, you know I'm right.
If this bum go over 5 rounds, I won't return to the United States for 30 days. That's final.
I walked into London, England. I jumped off the airplane. And Cleopatra was at ringside to witness. Can this Louisville lip come over here and call the exact round again? We don't believe it. The 5th round came.
The one, the only, Muhammad Ali. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide and WBC TV, of course, on the last night, of course, WBC title fight in action on ESPN, ESPN Plus, for the most part, the app. And, of course, it was looking good as far as the presentation was concerned, especially the fight beforehand. I'm talking about the semi-main event. Luis Lopez upset Gabriel Flores. Is Gabriel Flores managed by Andre Ward?
You know, I don't know, P. I'll be honest with you.
Yeah, he is.
Okay.
I sort of asked you a question. I sort of knew the answer to it. He's an advisor, I believe. They should have stopped that last night. There was no sense in the kid just taking more of a licking. You know what I'm saying? He was pretty beat up. They should have stopped that fight. Why didn't they? Especially the corner. The father sending him out. You know, the father, I've said this before, either father, they no median. Either they go too far and let a fight go too long, or they cut a fight off too early. Because of the emotional involvement, they can't be objective.
1,000%. And it's always been that way from the time I started watching boxing. You know, Benitez's father.
Ooh, Gregorio.
Felix Trinidad's father. Although you know what? That's probably one of the better father-son relationship, now that I just think of that. Of course, Roy Jones's father, we all know, well documented. Yeah, it's hard, man. I mean, I got pumped up watching my daughter in the spelling bee, so I can't imagine in a fight. You know, I think you definitely need some balance in the corner, you know, and probably if the father was a fighter himself, it probably, you know, would be more rational decisions.
But this is where you step and see. There's a referee there. There's a doctor there. There's a corner there. There's three entities put in place to protect the fighter, and all three entities failed him there because there's really no sense for him taking that ass whooping in the 10th round, and that's what it was.
Yeah, at some point you can tell when someone's just not going to win. And, yeah, you say the punch is chance, but, you know, that punch has to get there. And you see that the guy can't pull the trigger. It's bad business. You know, someone has to have it takes guts to, you know, to tell the dad, okay, stop, it's over, you know, but someone should have done that.
You know, I don't know if you remember who Jerry Tarkanian was. He was the coach.
Of course, the Shark.
Yeah, the Shark, anyway. He used to have a towel in his mouth, okay, you know, and it was kept him from screaming stuff. But the reason why I had a towel in my hand working amateur corners is I would throw the towel in a heartbeat. I mean, if I had a kid in the ring and the referee didn't see something, or I saw my kid looking cross-eyed or something like that, boom, man, I threw that towel in right away. I had kids tell me, I was okay. I'm not willing to take that chance. You hear what I'm saying? So the corner should have been there to protect them. The corner, the manager's in the crowd. The manager should be going up to the corner and saying, you know what, it's time to stop this fight. The manager should have protected him. The trainer should have protected him. The doctor should protect him. The referee should have protected him. Nobody did. Let's change the subject. Gennady Golovkin, I saw him on the side of a milk carton the other day. Of course, he's 41-1-1. The only fight he's lost was Canelo Alvarez. The only draw on his record was Canelo Alvarez. And yet, we don't see this guy. What's going on? I mean, he's so old now. I mean, he's getting old. He's like 40 years old almost. Take that back. What is he? 39, almost 40. What's happening with him?
You know, he's a guy that, you know what? Despite his age, you know that as far as to public awareness, he doesn't have any bad habits, you know, outside of the ring. So his body may not age the same way.
But he doesn't train. But he doesn't train between fights either. He's a pig between fights. I mean, you know, I'm not a pig between fights. He won't lift a glass of milk between fights. As far as exercise is concerned,
that I wasn't aware. He's not one of these guys that's always in shape, like year round, like Floyd or Canelo.
No. According to my people, and he admitted it to me that no, when he's not training, he's chilling.
Yeah, I mean, you know what? No one knows their own body like yourself. And, you know, Triple G, who's been fighting since, you know, for a long time. You know, he's been fighting since puberty. And I'm sure it doesn't take much for him to get back into shape. But eventually that stuff does catch up to you. Maybe the punches you don't take are the best ones. You know, you know the older you get, you train smarter. As long as you're eating the right way, you could be ready at a moment's notice. Triple G, the calendar only moves forward. Hopefully he gets back into the ring before the year's out. And he's obviously holding out for another fight with Canelo. Or a similar, well, he won't see a similar payday, but another big fight.
Okay. Oscar De La Hoya announced last week that he was sexually assaulted. He was raped at the age of 13. And I'm thinking, well, maybe that's why he likes to wear a girl's clothes and that kind of good stuff. No. He was raped by a girl.
Poor baby.
I know. Are you? I mean, good Lord. Can you feel sorry for the guy or what? No.
At 13, I could tell you what I was thinking when I was 13. So that's, I mean, does Oscar really need to clout chase for attention? And sexual, you know, I don't want to, you know, downplay sexual assaults and you know, pedophilia and that stuff, because that's serious stuff. But, and I guess we could laugh about it because it's from the opposite gender, as opposed to some of the other times that other fighters have revealed stuff like.
Yeah, but wait, time out. Wait, you're sort of telling me that Oscar's going, no, somebody help me, please, somebody help me. I don't think that's the way it went down.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to believe. Yeah, it's definitely hard to believe. And you know what? And I was way off when you mentioned I totally believe that Oscar is full of beans. I think someone went up to him and said, Vito Belfort is a big dude and he can hurt you if he hits you. I don't believe that he was that grave, you know. And I got that confirmation from a nurse who said that if Oscar was that bad, there's no way he'd be able to cut that type of video.
You know, I concur, and I smelled a rat, and Larry Merchant smelled it a rat, too. And Larry said to me, he said, there's a couple of ways out of this. He goes, either he was scared he was going to get killed and or the money wasn't right and they weren't bringing in that kind of money. I mean, this thing tonight, this farce tonight between Holyfield and Vitor Belfort is on pay-per-view. And I got to mention this. I mean, think about this. When has ever a welterweight or a middleweight at best pulled out of a fight and been replaced by a heavyweight?
Yeah, that's some ish, you know, that makes you wonder. And then you see the weigh-in, you know, and Evander and Vito are basically the same muscular, you know, stature. Yeah, that was kind of crazy. You know, I think somebody, you know, with the smarter head on their shoulder than Oscar told him, hey, man, have you seen this guy? How about who's doing the color commentating? We're burying the lead, brother.
Well, no, that's
4-5.
You know what? That isn't a lead. In other words, I'm just ignoring that altogether. I mean, I'm sorry. I'm not. Listen, I only brought it up, Evander Holyfield, because I was going to dog him a little bit. But I'm not even going to do that. Bottom line is, Evander Holyfield, I wish him the very best. But at his age, he should be thinking about grandchildren and not fighting.
I hear you, but I mean, hey, I will be rooting for the old guy. It's the guilty pleasure. I will watch, and yes, let's hope he's.
You're gonna pay.
I'm gonna peep through that window.
Oh,
that
my neighbors. Okay.
My neighbors don't have blinds yet, so.
You know, you are so eloquent in putting that. Anyway, I gotta wrap things up. All the best to you, Boxing's PhD, Socrates Palmer, the Bronx Bomber. Have a great week.
You too, brother.
This is Ring Talk Live Worldwide and WBC TV.